Welcome back. My guest is David Sarita, and we are going to be taking your calls when we come back. David is the former director of the Tesla Foundation. We've been talking about these fusion power energies, and this is revolutionary power that's basically going on right under our noses in the Tesla cars. And it does have the power to change the world. And we will be right back to find out more. Welcome back. This is Lisa Gar. My guest is David Sarita. We're talking with mystic ecologist and space scientist and physicist. And you know what, David? I never got a chance to ask you about this 5151 frequency. And I did promise the listeners we're going to get to calls, but I just wanted to see if you could give me the kind of the quick, like 2 minute answer on that. Or is that a 2 minute answer?
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking of that. I got to talk about the 5151.
Great. And
so I wanted to know if the Great Pyramid was built by somebody from an advanced civilization, and it was a giant crystal semiconductive oscillator, then the way you determine the frequency of a piece of quartz to create a, you know, an oscillator, which we use in cell phones, radios, and watches and computers, you cut it at a certain dimension and size and put a certain amount of power in it to generate an exact digital frequency, which will be your phone number or a radio, you know, digital radio show tuner to tune into that exact frequency of that radio station. In the old days, we didn't use quartz. We used just windings of copper wire. That's what Tesla did in the early days, but we've really evolved it since then. So all you got to do is measure the dimensions of the pyramid and divide those dimensions into the speed of light, or the speed of light by those dimensions, to get the frequency. And I wanted to know, what's the frequency of the base of the pyramid and the capstone base? Because it ends, there's no capstone. And basically, when you charge the electrons in the granite, in the core, in the limestone, when the electrons start to spin, they spin at less than the speed of light, but right at the surface of the pyramid, you get a speed of light square wave. In electronics, you get circular sine waves, sawtooth, and triangle waves, and you get square waves. And square waves are more powerful. There's a little LED light test in the video on the website, which you just got to see. They're more powerful than sine waves, which is what we use in our homes and most of our electricity. So I took the square wave perimeter in Egyptian inches and resolved the speed of light in Egyptian inches to get a really exact frequency. And I did the math, and the frequency I got was 5.151 megahertz square wave. And I went, what? That's the slope angle of the pyramid, 51 degrees and 51 minutes. That means the builder knew the speed of light because he cut it. He or she designed the dimensions of the pyramid to generate the same frequency as the number in the slope angle.
Before the speed of light was known.
Exactly. And the speed of light was not known this accurate even in Einstein's time. It was perfected in 1972. And if it was off by a little bit, I wouldn't get 5.151 megahertz square, which means the builder knew it as accurately as we do. That proves, for the first time math in history of the Great Pyramids, that the builder had to know the speed of light to cut it in those, or build it in those dimensions. So then I decided, you know, I had this theory, and there's a prevailing theory that the Ark of the Covenant actually belonged to the pyramid. And there's so many different units of measure in different qubits that are very close to each other. But I used Peter Lemaitre's book, you know, the greatest mathematician in his time, who wrote a book called The Great Pyramid Decoded. And he said the most common measurement in the pyramid is 41.21 primitive inches, which means Egyptian inches, and it equals 2 raw cubits. So I said, well, cut that in half to get a true cubit, which is 20.605, you know, Egyptian inches. And God said, make the Ark of the Covenant 2.5 cubits long. So 20.605 times 2.5 is 51.51, same number.
This keeps showing up, okay.
It keeps showing up. Now it gets more amazing. Why did they call Area 51?
51.
Why, which is really deep. How did they know? How did they freaking know? Because they know the same thing that I figured out years later. Now, it gets mind-bending. This is where you get into interdimensionality vortexes. I noticed that all the crop circles in England, a lot of them were sitting on the 51-degree line. So I go to Stonehenge on Google Earth, which you can do. It's sitting at 51 degrees and 1 minute north latitude. Holy cow.
Wow, yes. Yeah.
Now, that means the builders of Stonehenge knew the same thing, because most of the crop circles, in fact, the some years ago, there was the double face of Jesus in two crop circles that if you interlace, they look like the Shroud of Turin face. Those are sitting at 51 degrees. So now Jesus, in the Gospel of the Egyptians, taught these seven sacred tones. This is the Gnostic Gospel.
It's just like the number seven occurring.
Right, to be repeated 22 times each. Seven divided by 22 is Egyptian pi, and pi is the formula. You take the distance across a circle times, 3.14, and you get the distance around a circle, which is how you calculate frequencies.
Yeah.
So Jesus is having his disciples recite seven tones, 22 times each, and I went, wait a minute. I measured all the frequencies from the base of the pyramid to the top, and from the base earth of the pyramid to the top, there's a whole harmonic scale of tones, and I've decoded all of those tones. And there's seven from the base of the pyramid up, and there's three more beneath it. I said, when the pyramids worked, they worked in Jesus' time, because they weren't destroyed until the Muslim robbers came after the 6th century. So I started to go, wait a minute, there's something way more deeper about the pyramids and about this sacred number 5151 that shows up everywhere, which you can see some of it in the video. So I started pulsing those frequencies in our bedroom at night, and oh my God, I mean, this is a mind-bending experience. My wand transmitter is on, which people can now get these things from me, and experience it themselves. And I have the frequencies in the iPad, and I'm going up all the frequency scale from the subterranean pyramid to the base to the capstone to the top. So I don't know where I'm at in my meditation. And I finish meditating, and I lie down, and I fall asleep, and I drift out of my body. And I'm actually in the bedroom, and I see everything, but I'm not in my body. So, because I haven't seen spirits with my eyes open for some years now. And all of a sudden, this woman who looks like Superwoman comes flashing through the wall, and you can see her pulsing. And she's got blonde hair and blue eyes and kinky blonde hair, and she's really pretty, and she's like a goddess, and she's wearing this turquoise, dress, and she grabs the wand, my transmitter. We built it into a flashlight tubing wand, and I'm pulsing pyramid frequencies, and she looks at me, and then she said, look what frequency you're on right now. And all of a sudden, she flies through the wall. You can see her aura is like pulsing, pulsing, pulsing really fast, and I'm like so excited. I get up, I pick up my iPad. What frequency is it on right now? 5151.
Well,
out of all the other frequencies, because there's 10 tracks.
When you actually got up, you looked at that?
And she tells me, she starts talking to me, and she said, that's the fifth dimensional frequency. You live in four dimensions, and the pyramid goes all the way up to nine dimensions. But she told me that if you can raise your vibration one set of frequencies up to the fifth dimensional frequencies, you will see the fifth dimensional Earth, and it's easier for us to meet you halfway.
I see.
It's harder for you, she said, it's harder for you to see us in your four dimensions. You need to come to a fifth dimensional frequency, which is what everyone has been saying, Dreamsville Melchizedek, and everyone's been saying we're going to make this giant shift in 2012, and we're going to see the fifth dimensional Earth. Well, using these pyramid frequencies, I've been having regular lessons and clear lucid dreams on what's going on in the fifth dimension on our Earth right now. The fifth dimensional Earth is already there. Mm. It's already right on top of us. And many people are starting to see it and learn from what's going on in that dimension. So going back to Area 51, I mean, why are they ahead? There's pyramids at Area 51. You can zoom in on Google Earth and see them. I mean, we've known the pyramid angle. We know that there's a line called the Bethlehem line that runs right through Bethlehem that seems to predict the birth of Christ in the pyramid. And that line is, I think it's 26.3 degrees. I'm not quite sure because I'm going off the top of my head. But what I did is I took the Bethlehem angle and I took a full circle, which is 360 degrees, which no one had done before, and I subtracted the Bethlehem angle, and I was left with 333 degrees. And I thought, who built this pyramid? That's the Trinity. That's the Trinity number. Why is that the leftover number in the Bethlehem angle? That it's like impossible. And the math in the pyramid will boggle you.
It sounds like you've done a lot of research on this.
And other people have done amazing research into it too. But the 5151 frequency is my contribution.
Okay. Well, that's very clearly explained as well in the videos. All right, let's get to the callers. We've got the wild card line here from Sedona, Arizona, Blair. Blair, do you have a question for David Sarita?
I sure do. Hi, David, and blessings to Crystal and Alira.
Thank you, Blair. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, listen, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to the Earth Keeper Arizona Stargate Gathering in Scottsdale to hear John Van Auken from ARE and Dr. Robert Schock, Richard Hoagland, among others. But before that, it's after I'm going to go camping in that area in the high desert west of Sedona where we saw that huge, interesting UFO back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And now after 8 years of thinking and studying, what's your best guess regarding what we witnessed looking at Sycamore Canyon back then?
Well, that's actually the first UFO my wife ever saw. I can't believe it's Blair. That's so great. Because I know him in Sedona, because we lived in Sedona for years, which is the land of the mystery vortexes. I really believe there are vortexes in Sedona. There are legends that the Blair can correct me on this. It's either the Zuni, not the Zuni tribe, but I'm trying to remember the name of the native Indian tribe there.
Well, the Anasazi in the whole Southwest is very...
The Anasazi, right, where they all disappeared. Their clothes were folded in their homes, and there's no bones, and they're just gone. And I believe what was happening, and I know a cattle rancher in New Mexico who experienced this. He's riding his horse, and this guy's a real, Western American cattle rancher. And he saw a vortex of white appear in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. And he said this thing was alive and fully visible. And he knew that if he walked into it, he was going to disappear into another dimension. And I think that's what happened to the Anasazi in the Southwest. And I think these vortexes, which we can now prove because NASA is seeing in data from the sun, that the sun will cause these vortices to touch down on the Earth and cause these little mini vortices to appear in different parts of the planet at random. And they exist for a short period of time, but they're very powerful. And if they're calculated, they can spin enough electrons in a physical person or object, just as Anubis had told me, and take somebody somewhere. Now, UFOs they don't travel through the fabric of space-time. They actually jump out of our four-dimensional space-time fabric. And as my galaxy clock predicts, they open up faster-than-light vortices, and they can take physical people and craft to other places. So UFOs can just appear. And one night, Blair and I and Jim Law, my partner in our videos, and my wife were sitting out near Cottonwood, looking towards Cottonwood out of Sedona. And we saw this huge, huge light formation. And it was a light craft. And they come in non-material physical as light, and when they slow their waves down, they become solid physical.
Were you using any of your technologies?
No, not back then. I hadn't figured out then. When I was seeing spirits all the time, I kind of had no control of who I was seeing.
Right.
What I like now is I can spend a month pulsing Sirius frequencies or spike of frequencies.
So you know what you're calling in.
And it's like tuning to your favorite radio station. You're in control of it now, whereas before...
I've been thinking about that. That was kind of my concern. Like, how do you know what you're bringing in? You don't want to just bring in any random frequency. Well, thank you very much for your question, Blair. It's good to... I'm glad that you called. I'm glad you got a chance to connect.
That's so great. Blair gets in.
All right. So let's see here. West of the Rockies, Mark from Palmdale, California. Do you have a question for David Sarita?
Yes. I wonder if it was possible that the different passageways in the pyramids could be fine-tune the pyramid's frequency by changing levels of sand, like silica sand, and tune the pyramid using that.
Well, the silica sand is going to be tiny, tiny little oscillations, whereas the overall pyramid, there are different frequencies in the king's chamber, the queen's chamber, and the narrow passages, which they call air ducts or not air ducts. What happens, there's a device called a magnetron, which you need to Google. A magnetron is the heart of a microwave oven. It's basically, you have to create a lot of mass, steel or rock, around a chamber, what's known as a resonant cavity chamber, to trap a frequency in the chamber. And that's how a microwave oven works. You have these little circles, satellite circles, around a transmitter core, where they use a tungsten coil transmitter, and then it fires off frequencies that get trapped in these little circles, and you can measure the frequency based on the size of the circle, and then they need a shaft or a way out to fire the microwaves to the potato in the oven. Well, the pyramid is mostly insulation mass around cavity chambers, which makes me believe it's a resonant cavity chamber designed to trap frequencies and then open the shaft or unblock it when it's lined to certain stars. And when those shafts line up with stars and you're inside the king's chamber, there's so many oscillations. And in fact, this is in the video. If you look at the Dendera, what people thought was a light bulb, the Dendera light bulb, in electronics, that is a single coil, which means it's a transmitter, electrical inductor, and not a light bulb. You need some form of electrical transmission and induction to cause the electrons in the stone, the semiconductor stone, to start spinning.
Something larger than what's to be found in the silica sand.
Right. And so you see that picture of the Egyptian god-like being. It looks about 7 or 8 feet tall, and the little humans, and it's holding this transmitter above them. I was shown by Anubis actually a much larger object than that, which slid up and down the Grand Gallery to produce different frequencies depending where in the Grand Gallery the transmitter was. And the electrons start spinning in the quartz, and right above that, you get a compressed wave. In fact, if you look in the video, I don't have this in the video, but there was a photograph taken in Chichen Itza during a lightning storm. This guy is taking pictures of his little kids in front of the Chichen Itza, and I've been there. And all of a sudden, there's this bright cone of light shooting out of the top of the pyramid.
Mm.
And people thought, oh, that's just a scan line on the phone. And I'm like, no, it isn't, because it's a scan line on a digital camera scans horizontally across the frame. This starts at the apex of the pyramid. It doesn't go through the whole frame, which means it's exactly what the vortex pyramid mass shows us is in silica. When an electromagnetic wave approaches silica, the pyramid structure of silica, which is a three-sided pyramid tetrahedron, compresses the wave and forces it to compress and quantum tunnel at the top, the apex. Well, this physicist at Princeton, this Chinese-American physicist at Princeton, and this was on World News, Lijian Wang, he decides to use a crystal light source beam and send a light beam through cesium chloride gas. And cesium chloride gas is four-sided pyramids in a cube, so you get eight pyramids in a cube. It goes 300 times the speed of light.
Wow.
And all data and all information about his experiment is now classified. You can't find it on Princeton's website. It's all gone. This was on ABC News. But again, it's pyramids on a molecular scale, which means over and over again, that's what pyramids do. They force a wave to quantum tunnel. And if you now if you go back to these vortex coils, if these guys are spinning electromagnets at 700,000 RPMs, I've been telling them, I've been Skyping with these guys and saying, there's one more step in the evolution of what you need to do. You need to put the right materials in the eye of the vortex to open up a quantum mini black hole.
Wow. Well, I hope that answers your question, Mark. I thank you for your call. And we're going to take another quick break. And Dave, when we come back, we're going to get new calls and a lot more questions coming in. So we'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. My guest is a mystic ecologist and space scientist, David Sarita. And we have time for a call here real quick. We've got wildcard line Jane from Fort Myers, Florida. Jane, what is your question for David?
Yeah, I would like to know if it's possible to have an energy orb coming from a fountain I have that's shaped like a pyramid with crystals on it.
David?
Well, certainly. I think even when you have a non-powered pyramid, its structure, Patrick Flanagan, who's been on the show and is a friend of mine who wrote Pyramid Power, did the same thing. He took metal pyramids and he sent electricity in them through them, and you can see these compression cones coming out of the top, just like, you know, we're talking about in the iPhone photograph of the Chichen Itza with the compression light shooting out of the top. And we're seeing,
I have a three, it's a three-sided pyramid.
Sure, three-sided is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not lying. I saw it with other people. An orb was in front of it, but it wasn't really an orb. It was these little lights spinning around.
It sounds like
a ball.
It sounds like you have all of the right ingredients. Is that right, David?
Yeah, you can.
There's water in there too.
Sure. Well, water is very good. I mean, I actually use plants around my transmitters when I'm doing star frequencies. So, yeah, it creates a vortex. It creates the pyramid is a square wave vortex from the side, but the vertical wave is the triangular wave. So mm-hmm. It has squares and triangles all blended into it, and actually, it has eight sides. Each side is bowed in slightly. And each side of the original pyramid is a slightly different length, which is a very sophisticated thing called differential geometries, which is another subject that I...
But what would have happened if I had touched that orb? I was going to touch it, and they wouldn't let me.
Well, I think you felt it. I mean, it's when you're transmitting light energy, it passes right through you.
Yeah.
So you're really getting a download and a transmission that way. Touching it physically, like I've reached out with my hands to touch spirits that I see with my eyes, and there's nothing physical there.
It goes right through it.
It just goes right through it.
Interesting.
It's more about what you're feeling in the presence of that orb.
Okay.
But there's many star beings that appear, as the Arcturians did to me, and the crop circle makers have appeared in the fields as balls of light.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more callers. Thanks for your call, Jane. We will be right back with David Sarita. Welcome back. This is Lisa Garr. My guest is David Sarita, talking about gravity propulsion systems, fusion power, Tesla energy, all sorts of topics around the entering vortexes, and we are taking your callers. You okay with that, David? You still
sure
good with callers? Okay,
oh,
great.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to a first-time caller here. We've got Joe from Clarksville, Georgia. Hi, Joe. You have a question for David Sarita.
Yes. Hi, Lisa. Hey, hi. David.
Hi.
Hi.
I think you're a mathematical genius. I was admired, but I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I thought, this is something unreal. And more listening to you, but I have to be blunt. When you got to the part that you said you met people from other star systems and talked with them and said it with such, you know, just calmness, you lost me. My jaw went to the floor, and I went, mental hospital. You know, I mean, are you real about that or what?
Yeah, I mean, think of the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, which is a based on a book written by astronomer and astrophysicist Carl Sagan, that they build this device in the end, which is very expensive, and she travels to another star system as a hologram, and she meets ETs digitally, and she experiences it, but nobody else can experience it with her. And I think Carl Sagan is basically saying there, that this is our greatest hope to meet beings from other star system, is that there's a way your astral body, your electric body, which can be measured, you can measure the human aura. We can prove that we have an astral body. There's good science being done in this.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I Carl Sagan and Jodie Foster, I got you. You said you have personally met people. Just casually, you said, I've met people from other star systems, talked with them. Oh, and I'm looking at your genius. I believe that you're so smart, you don't realize what you're saying when you make those comments. I'm talking, like, directly to you. You have said, and a lot of people are listening and probably wondering this, too, that you have talked to other people in other star systems. And I'm asking you directly, is that true? I mean, have you?
Well, I can testify to you right now that if I'm lying about anything I've said tonight, may I burn for it. In my experience, I know 100% certainty that I've met Christ, Jesus Christ, in person. I've met spirit beings from other star systems, and I've seen my own grandmother, and I've seen my Aunt Patsy after she's died. Now, that's my experience. You don't have to believe it. Your religion and your religious beliefs don't have to believe it. But I'm testifying to you and the audience that if I'm lying about anything I said, it's a crime. And I have not lied about anything. Everything I'm telling you, I've actually experienced.
I appreciate your call, though, Joe. Thank you for that. And thanks for, you know, calling out the obvious. I represent a lot of voices there. So I appreciate that. And it is your experience, David, and that is basically what you're talking about. So,
yeah, I mean, would we say Barbara Marciniak is crazy because she got channel message from the Pleiades? Would we say that remote viewing the future and distant locations is crazy? I mean, this is where we're going. I mean, we live on a planet in a massive universe, and NASA can't tell us there's anybody else out there but us. Seems like an awful big waste of space, as Carl Sagan said in the movie Contact. To me, see, physical matter can be proven to be vibrating at a range of frequency. Everything that we're made of physically at the atomic and subatomic level is just particles and waves, which are frequencies. And everything on that's physical that we know of is somewhere in the megahertz to the billion hertz frequency. Some of the radioactive elements like cesium chloride is about it's in the gigahertz spectrum. I think it's around 9 gigahertz. And most of the metals and things that we know that are physical are megahertz, meaning million waves per second. So if you change the frequency of physical matter, you can actually vibrate it up, which you can do with vortex fields. It can physically disappear from your sight. Now, there are examples of Buddhist masters and of Jesus Christ and many masters of different religions and in ancient Egypt of people physically disappearing. And there's a lot of new science that can explain how that's possible. I realize that there are people out there that it's just too difficult to accept that.
No, but I appreciate
the universe.
Right, but I do appreciate the perspective.
Sure.
I mean, it's very healthy to challenge and be skeptical, and I really appreciate that coming in. So.
Well, see, that's why, Lisa, I became so interested in the ability of cameras on the space shuttle to see where the human eye doesn't see, and that objects show up on space shuttle cameras, and you can't see it with the naked eye, which made it difficult for the astronauts when they're looking at the video camera and they're looking out the window. They don't see the same thing. And the reason I became so interested in the ultraviolet is because my first spirit I ever saw, my Aunt Patsy, had a violet strip of light around her. So I want to know, how is this happening to me? Why am I seeing this fully visibly? Like a scientist wants to know, how is it possible? Am I crazy? Am I hallucinating? No. What happened is the next day my mom called me and said, your Aunt Patsy died. I go to the funeral, and I pick up a photograph when she was 24 years old, and she looked 24. That was her.
Oh, that was the exact same. Oh, interesting.
She looked young again.
Right. So
when a family member passes and you don't even have knowledge of it because, you know, you don't know yet, and you're seeing it with your own eyes and it matches the photo, all doubt is removed for me personally that we live after we die, because I know Patsy. I've talked with her, and in fact, I saw her just a year before she died.
We were talking with the first guest tonight about the same thing, and it's based on your experience, your opinion. This is, you know, what you have come to share with us tonight. Mm-hmm. So I understand the question.
And I really appreciate how open Coast to Coast AM is. I mean, to say that remote viewing can scientifically be proved is quite a stretch for most people's, you know, ability.
Well, I like the more practical aspects here of what you're talking about with the vortex coils, that we know the Tesla energy exists. We see it in the cars. It's right there under our noses. And
sure. And
there's ways that we can find that we can make this a practical application in our daily lives.
Sure.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got our wildcard line, Sue Ann from Newburgh, India. I'm sorry, Indiana. It's Sue Ann. What is your question
Hello.
For David? Hi.
I'm so delighted to be on with you. David, you and I have so much in common. It's absolutely unbelievable as far as our experiences go, but I've got one up on you.
Okay. What is your experience, Suzanne?
The one experience I have had that you have not had is the fact that I have been abducted one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, be that as it may, I turned on late tonight, and I have been following with you all the way through everything you've been talking about. I have a pre-med degree from Purdue University, and my dad was an electrical engineer, and I followed him around everywhere. We repaired everything. So, and I have two nephews who are very smart physicists, one from UCal Berkeley, the other Stanford, and we talk about all this stuff a lot in our family. And you were talking earlier about the silica pendant mm-hmm. that you used to wear. And is this something that actually helps a person heal? I, unfortunately, had a severe, full-blown case of heavy metal poisoning and was on my deathbed for 2 years, and I died 7 times. Now, I have severe neuropathy. Would that help me any?
Well, I can tell you from people who get our Lightstream, you know, technologies.com pendants and the transmitter ones, that they tell me that they experience this shift in their own healing. They feel a more balanced energy. They experience increased telepathy. And I've even had people say the pain in their body has disappeared. But now, in a more advanced level, I use the transmitter wands to transmit the pyramid frequencies into the body. You just look at that for a second. We did an aura camera study using the most advanced aura camera in the world, the GDV aura camera designed by Konstantin Korotkov. With three women in Sedona, we did their auras before and after a full scale. That means they did the entire pyramid frequencies from the subterranean pyramid to the base to the top. And their auras were so bright after and so full, there were no breaks or gaps in their fields. And they went, wow, I mean, this is huge increase in light. And increase in light means healing. And so the next day they decided to test them again, because with many healing devices, the next day you go back to normal. Well, their auras were holding the increased light the next day and the next day in the test they did by about 70 to 80%. Now, that means whatever the tones that Jesus was teaching in the Gospel of the Egyptian, which I believe are the tones that the pyramid resonates with when it's actually on, because we know Jesus was raised in Egypt as a child because the Holy Family fled there, and we have a lot of evidence from the Coptic Christians that he was raised there. They have records of it, and he certainly studied the pyramids. There's something about those frequencies that not only can give you a mystical experience, but that can radically improve the energy state of the body. Now, I used the same device in the early days on a child who had broken her arm and lost all the nerves in her arm. The mom came to me, and we pulsed the sound of the sun as recorded by NASA as a magnetic wave through the device. So that means you don't hear it, but it's transmitting through her nerves and her cells.
Wow.
And no doctor could do this. I mean, they were going to do nerve grafting, and she said, I don't want to do nerve grafting. In 3 months, the little girl's arm was moving, and her fingers were moving. And they were just blown away. Well,
did it stay that way?
Oh, sure. And it got better and better and better. Now, I've had people who have pancreas cancer use just the pyramid frequencies. And in 1 month, doing 2 treatments a day, all the pain's gone, and they're walking around. And they go to the doctor and get their protein levels tested, and they're all back to normal. Now, can I tell you that will happen to you? No. Because the way science works is, until you can get the same results 80 to 90% of the
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
then they won't acknowledge it. So I can't say that this is a medical device. No, I can say it's an experimental pulsed magnetic therapy device.
Based on individuals' experiences,
but,
yes.
But not, am I going to cure everybody? No. Is that what it's for? It may help a lot of people, and it is helping a lot of people, but we use the tool to reharmonize the electromagnetic field pollution from satellites and Wi-Fi and transmissions in the home, for one, and that works very well. We use it to assist people in getting into higher states of consciousness, and that works well. And so I think the future, see, we use electricity in a very crude way today. We run 60 hertz pulsing our brains with all the lights and all the wiring in the house. And the brain likes nice, mellow, relaxed frequencies like the frequency of the Earth and the planets. And so I believe that we're around a lot of disharmonic fields right now with the Internet and Wi-Fi and cell phones. Excuse me. So I think I've found the answer to reharmonizing local fields. Like when you're sitting in an office tower in New York and you live in an apartment with 500 units in the same building, and you know you're looking for your Internet signal, how you have to find it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You've got 500 Internet signals sitting on top of your brain in that building. And this is a really interesting experiment. We're just coming to the end here.
Yes.
In Claude Swanson's book, The Synchronized Universe, Robert Temple, the out-of-body master, they do this experiment where they surround his sleeping area with wires, and he goes out-of-body and describes going through the wire cage, and then they put certain frequencies through the wires, and it traps his astral body. He can't get out.
Yeah, that's where it becomes difficult.
That's where we're at now. We're creating a web with 1,000 satellites surrounding the planet, all these frequencies that are garbage, and we're corrupting the astral plane. My device rips a vortex hole out of the top of your house and allows you to have more lucid dreams. I mean, that's what people are reporting, tons of lucid dreams, clear,
well,
getting out.
I would say do not try this at home, but you have all of these home devices. So, and the pyramid technology one that you're talking about, the pendants, those are, what was the website for that again?
Yeah, that's lightstreamtechnologies.com, and you can just write David Sereda, S-E-R-E-D-A, at outlook.com for a PDF brochure on the wands and the transmitters.
Oh, I see.
Thank
okay.
you for letting me give that out. And, you know, if this is experimental, the pendants are harmless. I mean, they're crystal pendants
jewelry.
That are harmonically treated. The wands are actually harmless. The only part of EMF that is harmful, according to the Electric Power Research Institute studies, are microwaves. I don't use any microwaves. Your cell phone is microwaves, your Wi-Fi is microwaves, and your TV signals on the dishes are microwaves. Those can heat up a cell and damage the DNA. I don't use any microwaves.
Yours
the other EMF is natural. See, it's not EMF that's bad. Nature has natural EMFs that are harmonic, and that's what I study is, what are natural harmonic frequencies for consciousness in the body?
And then outer dimensional consciousness as well with the fifth dimensional frequencies.
Which is really advanced stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize most people don't want to go to the Pleiades, but more and more do. More and more people do.
Well, the fact that you've even found that there are, you know, experiences like this is amazing. And I really appreciate you coming on to talk about all of this because it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
Well, I love Coast to Coast, and I've actually enjoyed our interview tremendously.
You're
wonderful, wonderful hostess.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and you've been wonderful and great responses and great questions and a lot of great stuff coming in here, so I appreciate it. So once again, if people want to go to the website, you can find everything on Coast to Coast AM. David's website and email and everything is right there for you. And if you have questions for him, you can go ahead and contact him. If you have questions for me, you could contact me at news@theawareshow.com, which is theawareshow.com, The Aware Show Radio Show. And thank you so much for all of your incredible information tonight. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right, take good care. And to everyone else, thank you so much. And thank you to Coast for having me on tonight as a host. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.